It's the show that celebrates WWE. It's Gorilla Position.
Hello, you, and welcome to Gorilla Position. Thank you for hitting the download button on this, your pro wrestling / sports entertainment podcast of pleasure. My name's James D'Lo, your host and your guide through the wonderful world of WWE. Thank you for tuning in to this episode 306 of the biggest and best WWE podcast in the UK, the only show of its kind to be supported, endorsed and promoted by WWE themselves. It is Wednesday, February 28th. The Chamber has eliminated the chaff. Not that there was any chaff in either of the Chamber matches. That was harsh, but you get the point. The Chamber has chamed down under, and now Mania will wrestle. This isn't working. but you get the point. Welcome back to the show. What a time to be a wrestling fan, boys and girls. What a time to be alive, quite frankly. Thank you for downloading the Friday WWE Superstar Special of GP last week. Natalia and Jinder Mahal were my guests. Go back and download that episode from this very GP feed if you missed it. Some very interesting, insightful, and controversial tough subject matters addressed. So go check that out if you haven't done so already. Right. Let's bring in the cavalry. GP would be nothing without my GP brothers, my own personal bloodline. Point those fingers to the ceilings, lads. Don't do it like The Rock.
No thumbs.
I need to trust you always. First up, the newest member of the GP family. He's a podcaster. He's a content creator. He prefers, and this is official, he prefers professional wrestling to his own family. The man, the myth, the legend, Mex.
You're going to get me in trouble with my own family very soon.
Do they listen?
They do, especially now. They're excited because they know I've been a fan of this, so they are listening. I don't know for how long they're going to be tuned in for because they don't watch, but...
Especially after what James just said as well.
Yeah, he's landed me in it. But yeah, happy to be back. How are you boys?
Well, do you know what? And this just reminded me of something that Skillet said. I think maybe on the day we recorded our big relaunch promo a month or so ago, Skillet said, "You've done some great work on the indies."
Yeah.
And now you're in the WWE.
In a big time.
Yeah, boy. Speaking of Skillet, he's back.
Hey, I'm back, baby. I know you've all missed me. I know all of you've missed me. Come on.
No. We've had no messages.
Listen, I've been listening to the show since I've been away and thank God Mex is here because he's absolutely brilliant. As we all know, he's brilliant.
He's great.
And the chemistry with Kevin Clifton as well. I mean, he's had some very controversial opinions.
He has.
But that's his opinions. You know, it doesn't mean it's the truth.
Well, opinions is what makes this fun.
Absolutely. And he was brilliant. But I did agree with some of his opinions over the Elimination Chamber review.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, you want me to talk about what I agreed with?
Well, I had a whole intro for you.
Oh, go ahead.
Shall I do that?
Yeah.
So we talked about the Massive Return promo that I produced.
Yeah.
You were front and center.
Mm-hmm.
You were here for the first episode back. And then you bugger off and I haven't seen you for 3 weeks. You are treating us mean, keeping us keen-ish. Rapper, DJ, podcaster, the man they call Skillet.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Go on, quickly fire back at Kev's takes.
No, I think some of what he said about Becky Lynch, he's kind of spot on. And I love Becky. It's not that I don't want to see her against Rhea. I actually do want to see that match over Bianca and Rhea because I think Bianca Rhea needs a bit more build-up. It'll be more exciting years down the line as these two progress in their careers. But I think Becky's kind of missing something in recent.
I agree. I think it's going to be interesting how the next few weeks play out. But we will talk about Becky Lynch, Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax, that whole situation when we recap Raw. But skills.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's so pleased to have GP back.
Absolutely.
The response we've had from listeners has been very touching, very overwhelming. It's been a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
It really, really has. One thing that we haven't yet resurfaced is the old format we used to call Skillet's Random Question.
Oh, yeah.
Now, this was born out of you just saying whatever the hell popped into your head.
Absolutely.
At any given moment. So Skills, you're back after a 3-week hiatus. Have you got a random question for us?
I do, James, and that hasn't changed. Whatever pops into my head, there's literally, I just thought about this on the way here. And this is the scenario that I'm painting for this random question.
Okay.
What if we do an excellent podcast like we do every Wednesday, you know, for the GP listeners, and we switch off the lights? It's time to go home. Mm-hmm. But then, oh no, wait, we get invaded. And producer Ben gets attacked, shot in the leg. Guys comes in with masks, balaclavas. Get in the wall, get in the wall. Metz there, stands by the wall. James stands by the wall. I stand by the wall. We're all crying, tears, scared for our lives. They say, don't be scared, you can survive this. The only way you can survive this is you have to choose one professional wrestler and watch their whole entire career for the rest of your life. Who would you choose, guys?
Oh, what a roundabout way first to get to that question. Yeah. Let's back people.
Ben is still bleeding, by the way. Ben is still bleeding on the floor.
If producer Ben dies in this scenario,
anyway.
If he dies,
he dies.
So, yeah, I mean, you paint quite a picture, Skills.
Thank you.
Thanks for that. And as Max says, what a crazy way. You could have just said, which wrestler would you watch?
Literally.
I mean, What's the fun in that?
Yeah, guys? No, you're right. Yeah. You're right. That was... I mean, absurd.
Yeah, absolutely.
Max, coming to you, if you could choose one wrestler that you had to watch for the rest of your life, so you're only watching their matches.
Only their matches.
Who'd you choose? Great question.
To do Skills. What? Get out of this kidnap situation.
Absolutely. But also, yeah, just in general as well.
I mean, for the sake of the situation, my answer is going to be very smart. It's going to go hand in hand with something James said last week, and I'm actually going to pick Logan Paul.
What is going on here?
Listen, I'm being very smart. You said for their entire career and then
their entire career.
Yes, and
for
then
the
I can leave
your life though. For the rest of your life.
Yes, so you'd have to watch all his matches on loop.
I thought I could watch like seven matches and then leave.
Just get out that one.
I'm trying to stay alive. That's what I'm trying to do. Who would I watch? I think if I keep it new school and keep it on topic, I'll pick Rhea Ripley.
Wow. Okay.
Because I think from her ascent from, you know, NXT UK when that was a thing, she's been terrific. There was a little dip off when, you know, she was doing the Nikki ASH stuff, if you remember. But
oh, we all remember.
Yeah. But yeah, since then, obviously it's been brilliant. Before then, I would say it's been brilliant. So yeah, I'll keep it current. I'll keep it new school. I'll pick Rhea Ripley.
Okay.
James. That's very interesting.
So all the way from the women's tournament, I forget what that was called. Oh, the Mae Young Classic.
Mae Young Classic, yeah.
So all the way from there to current day Rhea.
Yep.
I like that. I like seeing that evolution. There's only one choice. Who? There is only one choice.
I know who he's choosing. I know you.
Go on.
You're going with the Heartbreak Kid.
Nope.
Oh.
I'm going with the Great Khali.
Okay. For the rest of your life. That's torture, James. You might as well get rid of you.
Yeah. Kill me now. Yeah. Kill me now. No, probably Sean.
Yeah.
And as Sean said in an interview, he can chart his entire career from his first arrival in WWE all the way to the day he retired. Let's forget the Saudi Arabia match where Kane's hair fell off. Yeah. It's an absolute state of that. He can look at the progression and the narrative of his story and his character arc as one really solid piece of work. So I think for the rest of my life, I would watch Shizzle.
That's a very good show. And I enjoyed the Rhea Ripley take as well.
And your take, Skills, most importantly?
I think mine will be the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
Logan Paul.
Bret Hart, yeah.
Bret Hart.
I think I'll choose Bret Hart.
Hitman.
Yeah. It's a good one. Well, I mean, I'm delighted that Skillet's random question has returned.
Thank you, guys.
I just want to very quickly read out an email from the listener.
Yep.
From a listener, sorry. It goes like this. Hello, you. I'm Dan, a 37-year-old bus driver. He's put bus driving chef. Oh, a bus driving chef.
Interesting.
Does he cook whilst he drives buses?
I think so. It sounds like it.
I haven't misread that. I'm Dan, a 37-year-old bus driving chef.
Yeah.
In Keighley, West Yorkshire. I've been listening to you guys since day one. So long, in fact. Even though I've since stopped watching wrestling, I still listen to you guys so I can catch up on what's happening. The fact that you're now back means I can listen to you guys whilst I'm at work, and it makes the monotonous day-to-day drivel that is bus driving and then no mention of being a chef here, a little more manageable. I'm not trying to play the sympathy card in any way whatsoever, but I want you guys to know that during 2019, you guys helped me so much and didn't even know it. I was diagnosed with cancer in August 2019 and had to have half my tongue removed and replaced with muscle from my right leg.
Wow. My God.
I mean.
Yeah.
The marvel of modern medicine is absolutely incredible. Whilst I was unable to move or talk, all I had were my podcasts, and Gorilla Position was always top of the list. I could lie and tell you that you were all I listened to, but we all know that would be a rib. But each time a new ep came out, I would go straight to it and then back on to whatever I was listening to once it was over. I've never met you guys and probably never will. You might do.
You might
actually.
Do.
I think we should make this happen. But the fact that I can listen to you guys who are similar to my age talk about pro wrestling the way I used to with my mates back in the day, it gives me a huge sense of nostalgia. It makes me feel like I did back in the 90s when kayfabe was still alive, the internet was new, and we couldn't tell if Austin really hated McMahon. He might do now for real. I know I do, and we all do as well. Yeah. Anyway, thank you guys. Thank you so much for everything you do. Keep the show going, and thank you for bringing it back. My podcast feed feels whole again.
Aww.
An Atomic Kitten fan as well.
Big up, Dan.
Thank you for keeping me through the dark times. I'm hoping to get WWE 2K24, but I've got to clear it with the wife because she's not a WWE fan. She just doesn't get it. Peace, love, and hugs. Hopefully, honorary goosebump, Dan Sugden.
Can we give
what
him a
lovely
round of
email
for Dan,
from Dan.
Big up, Dan.
Thank you so much, Dan. That's very
absolutely
lovely.
I was so delighted to receive that email. So thank you. Thank you, Dan. And if you want to get in touch, do email us at hellou@wwegp.co.uk and we will read as many emails as we can on the show. Love getting stuff like that. Quick thank you to 2K24, the headline sponsor. It's the brand new video game available now for pre-order. It launches next week.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
Tuesday.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Where is this year going? Yeah. The game looks incredible. So much chat about the ratings for different superstars. Always a hot talking point. We've talked about the showcase of the Immortals mode, which looks brilliant. All those classic WrestleMania matches you can watch. We're going to go and play the game next week. We are booked in at 2K's HQ here in London. But before March 5th hits, which is the date of the 40 years of WrestleMania, edition and the deluxe edition. That's the date those two editions get released. 2K has released details on the superstars coming to the game post-launch, which has caught the attention of one CM Punk. He had some choice words for 2K on socials, basically saying, why wasn't he in the game? And then fans started questioning this too. And then all of a sudden, guess who's in the game? There he is.
I don't hate CM Punk. I just don't understand the godlike praise. I don't hate him. I just don't think he's as good as everyone else. I don't hate him. I just think he's unprofessional. I don't hate him. I don't get the... Yeah, I've said it.
So I don't think Kev will be playing as Phil in the game.
No.
But lots of fans will be.
That's amazing though, right?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's really great. I mean, I think we even said it on the show. Maybe they were holding out on Punk and going, listen, there's a bit of a...
Let's see if he keeps his hands clean.
Yeah, there's a bit of a probation period here.
Yeah.
We're not going to give you stuff like the game until, you know, you've been with us at least 6 months and we know that things are going to go well. But CM Punk, so the downloadable content packs will offer 25 additional playable superstars and personalities across 5 unique collections to be released between May and November this year. So we've got CM Punk. We got... Pat McAfee's in the game.
Pat McAfee's in the game.
As he said on Raw, he's like, I'm living a stupid life. I can't believe it. Post Malone.
Yeah. Very random.
Well, he's the producer of the soundtrack of the game.
Okay.
So it makes a bit more sense.
Did I miss something when he wrestled on Raw or SmackDown?
No, he didn't. Okay. But he's curated the soundtrack, so.
Oh, so Jim Johnson's in the game then.
Jim Johnson should be in the game.
100%.
2K, get Jim Johnson in the game. That is a great shout. Yeah.
I mean, you know, there's Post Malone fans there that would love to play as
you
him.
Can probably download Jim Johnston.
You probably could, honestly. Yeah.
Maybe you can.
Making the Undertaker theme as he comes down to the ring.
I'll tell you what, I mean, that does open up a wider discussion about WWE themes in general.
Yeah.
Because I think watching Royal Rumble this year in particular, there was like, some work needs to be done on theme
absolutely.
Music.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So Post Malone is in the game. Jade Cargill.
Yeah, absolutely.
WWE legend Iron Sheik.
Brilliant.
The Dudleys.
Yep.
Diamond Dallas Page. Lex Luger. Mr. Perfect. Perfect.
Brilliant.
Oh. Some great choices there.
Bret Hart versus Lex Luger. That is going to be a match I'm going to be playing.
Did you mean Mr. Perfect?
What did I just say?
Is it Lex Luger?
Lex Luger.
I definitely didn't mean Bret versus Lex. That was a horrible match. Now I can confidently say I won't be playing as Lex Luger.
Yeah.
Nice guy though. Now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Turned his life around.
Yeah. Yeah. He went through a lot, and
he's not worth following on Twitter. I'll say that.
I'll take care.
But yeah, Mr. Perfect versus Bret. That's in my soul forever.
Yeah, one of the greatest matches of all time.
SummerSlam 91.
Yep.
Madison Square Garden.
Yep.
So the entire DLC collection will be available for purchase in the 2K24 Season Pass, which is included in the Deluxe Edition and the 40 Years of WrestleMania Edition, or it's available as an add-on to the Standard Edition. Individual download content packs will be available as a standalone purchase as well. Is this... Talk me through more about this element of the game, Mex.
So, yeah, the downloadable content basically makes the game live forever. Like, you can't get bored of it. You can keep downloading new superstars, people's creations. We talked about the venues as well that you can get on the downloadable content side of things. So it just gives you so much more than just, you know, the career modes and the different game modes that's already embedded in the game. Like I said, it just makes the game go on, and the hours of enjoyment just keep racking up.
Nice. I love it. So the WWE 2K24 Season Pass also includes the My Rise Mega Boost Pack, which features an additional 200 attribute points, and the Supercharger Pack, automatically unlocking several iconic WWE legends. And as you say, the additional arenas, which I love that touch.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So WWE 2K24, our headline sponsor here at GP, is available March the 5th next week with Cody Rhodes, the standard edition, him on the cover. That game comes out 3 days later on March the 8th. Available on PS5, PS4, Xbox Series X and S, Xbox One, and PC. Thank you very much to 2K Games, baby. Right, should we get into some news?
Yes.
Wade, take it away.
I'm afraid I've got some news.
It's GP's Ringside Report, powered by WWE 2K24.
What you got for us, Mex?
So we're going to get started with the 2023 Wrestling Observer Awards. The results came out over the past week. I won't bore you guys with all of the results that came out, but the ones particularly around WWE, you had like the guy that is the guy in North America, Cody Rhodes. He finished number one for that region. Rhea Ripley is the women's wrestling MVP of the year. And to get to WWE and their shows, we had Raw and NXT consecutively finish as second and third worst television show.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
We had WrestleMania 39 finish fourth for the best major wrestling show in the world last year. Worst major wrestling show, Crown Jewel.
Okay.
However,
I'll accept that one.
Yeah. However, promotion of the year, WWE.
That doesn't quite add up, does it?
It really doesn't.
No. So this is, I mean, Skills, I don't know what your take is on this, but this obviously says a lot about the readership of The Observer.
Yeah.
So this is voted for by their subscribers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we've got to assume this audience likes or at least is across and watches all promotions. So this sort of makes sense. But one thing I would say, and I'm not just saying this because, you know, I'm a WWE lifer, but WrestleMania last year in LA was a tremendous show.
I mean, Mex, you were there live.
Yeah.
So
obviously, and people have said particularly night one was maybe better than night two, but not to like poo-poo night two. Night two was great as well.
Yeah.
But I think, like you said, it shows the readership. The three shows that finished before it are all AEW shows.
All right.
So that might tell you, you know.
I mean, I find it hard to argue against any WrestleMania show being the best show of the year in any wrestling capacity, if I'm honest with you. So I think with the vote, though, I think I will commend the guys who made the vote, because even though they ranked SmackDown low and whatnot, at least they recognize under WWE last year was undeniable. You cannot deny the pay-per-views they put on consistently, the business they've done, bringing back moments like CM Punk. You know, you can't deny how great WWE was last year. So I don't agree with everything that's been the votes, but at least they gave that.
There's a lot more they did. Where, like, box office was a WWE 1-2-3, Roman Reigns first, Cody Rhodes second, John Cena third.
Okay.
You know, you can't argue with stuff like that. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens won Tag Team of the Year. They finished second in Tag Team of the Year, sorry. They won Feud of the Year with the Bloodline.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of positives still.
There's a lot of positives.
Okay.
Yeah, you can see that it's maybe a very AEW, New Japan heavy subscriber base.
Which makes sense. I just think that WrestleMania was of such good quality and such huge scale.
Absolutely.
And the biggest mania of all time, and just so many great matches, so much great emotion. I mean, capped off with Sammy and KO, you mentioned them there, beating the Usos in one of the most dramatic, like emotion-fueled, fantastic, five-star tag team match to headline the show.
And even the headline between Reigns and Cody was brilliant. Mm. You know, some people might not like the decision of how the outcome, but that match was still a fantastic match. So,
For Bloodline and KO and Sami Zayn to be the first ever tag match to main event at WrestleMania, like, after you got that, it's deserved.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's what you want if that's what you're going to do with a tag match.
Yeah. Okay, next up, what have we got? Has the Rock got some new dates?
Yeah, so The Rock is seemingly super committed to what he's doing now on WWE TV. He has announced on his own social media he will be at the next 3 SmackDowns starting this week. So that's the 1st of March, the 8th of March, and the 15th of March. What do you guys think? Are you really invested in him being here? And, you know, it shows his commitment, right?
Yeah, I think that's it's a positive look on The Rock's part, because usually, you know, with Rock's schedule, he's so busy, he'll probably do one Raw and then you'll see him at Mania. You know what I mean? So it's good to see that he's committed to the storyline, and, you know, he's done some brilliant stuff since coming back. So I'm looking forward to seeing more Rock and seeing where that leads to in WrestleMania.
I think, yeah, as you say, it feels different this time.
Yeah.
Usually, as you say, it's one and done. It's a people's elbow. See you later. Yeah. And then he might not even appear at WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I love the fact that we're getting him on 3 consecutive TV shows. We'll talk about The Rock and Cody and all that situation later. I'm actually going to be in Glendale, Arizona this Friday for SmackDown. So I will be there.
Wow.
When The Rock is there. So I'm very, very happy about that. We're out in the US shooting some interviews for GP, so some proper GP exclusives with WWE superstars coming up. We're shooting backstage at SmackDown and some live events over the weekend, so that is going to be a lot of fun. Lastly, Mercedes Moné has got the Moné to bring in her own writer. What's this all about?
Yeah, it seems like Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks, we all know she's more than likely turning up on AEW TV on the 13th of March.
Yeah, boy.
Jennifer Pepperman, who is a long-term writer for WWE, she's been accredited with a lot of the good stuff that's happened on the SmackDown's women division side of things. She recently resigned from WWE. She is said to be very good friends with Moné and recently took up a position in AEW as the vice president of content, indicating much broader involvement than what she was doing in WWE. So she's got to be
not just writing, VP of content.
Exactly.
Wow.
So
okay.
It's been said that with her relationship with Moné, she's being brought in almost like Brian Gerwitz for The Rock. She's going to be writing all of Moné's stuff on TV. And I guess really helping to push forward this women's division, which has been of somewhat contention since AEW started.
Interesting.
Well, so the part of that I find really interesting, you mentioned Brian Gerwitz and the fact that he is The Rock's person. I mean, they're in business together, obviously, $7 Productions, but he's his personal writer. Whenever Rock goes back to WWE, Brian goes with him. I find it interesting that Mercedes Moné is sort of, I mean, maybe not on The Rock's level, but at the level where she's bringing in her own writer. But also, Skills, what does that say to you about how Mercedes Moné feels about AEW's creative when it comes to the women?
Yeah.
If she's going, yeah, I'll come over, but I'm bringing old Pepperman. Pepperman?
Yeah.
Pepperman Jennifer with Pepperman. Me.
Well, you can't question her. You know, she's been consistent with how she feels about, you know, anything women related wrestling. She was arguing with the whole title, how the titles in WWE wasn't really being used well.
And rightly so.
Rightfully so. So she's come to AEW. She doesn't want to live through that again. And she wants to make sure that things are done right. And it shows that how much she cares. That shows that I don't see that as a level of arrogance. And be like, I'm going to bring in this and I'm better. And, you know, she's actually caring about the product. And she wants to make sure women everywhere, no matter what business, thrive. So, you know, respect to Mercedes for that.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be so interesting. They've made it abundantly clear that it is going to be her appearing on the 13th of March show in Boston. So yeah, I mean, if she's got creative sway because of who she's brought in with her, that is interesting. Okay, let's get into our three count, the big three talking points I want to get into this week, leading nicely into the women, actually. Obviously, we're mainly only going to be breaking down Raw, really, because Kev and I went through a SmackDown and Elimination Chamber and all those kind of things on our reaction special on Monday. Go back and listen to it if you haven't done so already. There were some fairly hilarious moments in it. I want to talk about Becky Lynch, Nia Jax, Rhea Ripley. We all know the match is official, Becky versus Rhea for the Women's World Championship in Philadelphia at WrestleMania 40. Nia Jax, who lost to Rhea Ripley at Chamber in Perth, got involved and attacked Becky this week on Raw.
Yeah.
Initially, I was a bit deflated and I was like, oh, why is Nia involved here? Why is she attacking Becky? But I actually think this is the story that the women's division needs. Kev and I talked a lot about in the women's chamber match and generally in the women's division. I mean, talk about Mercedes Moné, but it, you know, in WWE, I still think there is an issue with lack of solid stories with the women in WWE. Mm. And there was certainly a lack of stories leading into Chamber. But this, I think, is going to be a really positive thing. I think Nia's involvement really makes sense in the build-up to Mania because Becky has said she didn't know if she was as good as Rhea. Rhea has now beaten Nia on a huge stage in a huge way, but Becky hasn't. Plus, Becky's still haunted by the old face smash heard around the world.
Yeah.
And so I actually quite like this, albeit very simple story, but Becky needs to beat Nia in order to then get to Rhea. Yeah. Like, she's got the match with Rhea in, you know, it's there, it's done, it's official, it's booked. But can she do it? Maybe she'll have that confidence if she beats Nia Jax.
Absolutely. It writes itself. It's great. You go back to the history between Nia and Becky, like you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And it's a great way to give Becky a lot of momentum to be strong to go up against Rhea. So absolutely, it's the right decision.
Nia Jax had some funny like heel logic here. Obviously, she just had her match. She's lost her match. Now she's asking, why does Becky get a go at Rhea Ripley? I beat Becky sort of thing. Yeah. So I don't know if she thinks she's entitled to another chance at Rhea Ripley, but yeah, like you said, it just makes sense. Becky has to get over the hurdle, which is Nia Jax, and the question is, will she actually get to do that? Because we've got Liv Morgan bubbling in the background, and there's a whole Liv Morgan situation online of we want Liv Morgan. So Liv Morgan, for me, I think she may, you know, interrupt that match. We might not actually get a definitive winner amongst Becky and Nia Jax, but we'll have to wait and see.
So with Becky, the question is, should she win at Mania?
No.
Kev? Moving on.
No, go ahead. What are you
it's
say?
That detailed analysis that I hire you for, Skills. No, but Kev and I were talking about it, and we were saying, and Kev in particular made this point, that as much as he loves Becky, he thinks she's lost a little bit of fire. There are going to be lots of stories finished at Mania. Maybe this is one that has legs beyond Philadelphia. Maybe Becky losing their first big match in, 4 years?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Rhea and Becky. Maybe if she loses that, it'll give her more babyface fire and Rhea even more superstardom.
I agree. I think when you're in the position of Becky Lynch's or the Charlotte Flair's, you know, even the Bayley's, even though Bayley's going to get her moment in the sun at Mania this year, but when you're in those positions where you built your name from the NXT and you're, you know, one of the mainstays of the women's division, it's time for you to give back to the ones that are coming up. And Rhea, Bianca, Jay Cargill, these are the women that needs to be focused on. These are the women that needs to be dominating that division. Even Liv Morgan, I rate Liv Morgan really highly. I don't think she's being presented. I think hopefully with this heel run that's going to happen, she's going to be a megastar because I think she's brilliant. So I think it's their time. And I think it's time for the Becky Lynch's, the Charlotte's, what not to give back and lose the matches to them.
And do you think if Rhea continues to be as popular as she is and is getting a lot of positive crowd responses like she is currently, do you think we go back to a heel Becky? What did you think of Big Time Bex? Did you run?
I loved it from the punch heard around the world and everything. I loved everything Becky done. Rhea Ripley is a very interesting case, which I was looking at over the past few weeks. Like, Rhea Ripley, obviously going into Australia, she was always going to be cheered, right?
Yeah.
But if you guys have noticed on TV, they have ever so slightly started distancing her between, there's distance between her and like Dominic Mysterio.
Mm.
There's distance between her and the Judgment Day. And it's like, she's being cheered now. She's going to have that kind of organic turn to a baby face, although she's not going to change her character. Yeah, we may see the likes of a Becky Lynch have to take up that heel position now because things are just moving in the right direction for Rhea Ripley in terms of becoming a babyface character.
There was something I've always thought Becky was so innately lovable and so nice and kind, and people have followed her journey all the way to the main event of WrestleMania 35 when she, you know, had the big victory over Charlotte and Ronda. It was like when they turned her heel, and I understand from Becky's point of view, she wanted to do something a bit different. She wanted to, you know, evolve. She can't just stay the same. But there was something about, I never wanted to boo Becky. I didn't really believe that heel side to her as much as I do the fiery baby face. So I've never been the biggest fan of heel Becky. However, something you just said there made me think a double turn.
Yeah.
In the way of, I mean, look at Brett and of the Austin.
The greatest WrestleMania match of all time.
Framed here in the studio. A double turn between Rhea and Becky. I mean, that could be,
that'd be brilliant.
A beautiful thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think it's out of the realms of possibility. I think if it's, especially in a situation where Becky can't get it done, she goes over all the hurdles of Elimination Chamber, Nia Jax, and she gets to Rhea Ripley and can't get it done, like, yeah, she could very much lose it at that point, and we go from there.
And she starts giving the middle fingers to fans when she's walking up the aisle.
That'll be brilliant.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Get Ken Shamrock in there, a special guest referee.
That'd be great.
Could there be some sort of UFC crossover when...
Well, I definitely think Ken Shamrock is going to be inducted to some sort of Hall of Fame this year because of the UFC merger as well.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, interesting.
It's not a bad shot.
I think Shamrock might get some flowers this WrestleMania.
Oh, now I can't get the double turn idea of Becky and
Shamrock wearing the same referee shirt he had him with the no sleeves.
With the no sleeves.
Did you? Well, he had the arms.
Yeah, he did have the arms at the turns.
Did you see the present that Steve Austin bought Brett?
No.
So it was a framed picture of Austin in the sharpshooter. Obviously, that famous image of blood pouring out of his head. In the sharpshooter, moments before he passed out, Ken Shamrock down there with his massive arms to see if he quit. And obviously he didn't quit. But it was a framed image of this. And he wrote to Brett, he said, "Dear Brett, there would be no Stone Cold without the Hitman. You're my favorite opponent." All, you know, it was just a lovely sort of signed thing, which Brett now has it was a present from Austin. Loved it.
And I say this to the Hill come, man. Brett's, he's my GOAT, man.
He is.
That's my guy.
Well, I mean, the official GOAT is Logan Paul.
oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot.
Mex, Skills just said greatest WrestleMania match of all time. Were you disagreeing?
Yeah, you know what? There's just so many that I can never really ever give one, like, that accolade. Like, I love Shawn and Taker, the ones we had there. I do love that Austin, Bret the Hitman Hart one. I love Shawn and Razor. I love Triple H and Undertaker in the Hell in a Cell. There's too many for me to kind of commit to one.
Okay, but if Masked Men came into the studio now, killed producer Ben and said you had to choose
one
WrestleMania
Ben alone,
match.
Please?
No, Ben's dead. He's dead.
Ben's dead.
Ben's dead.
Answer the question.
Yeah. If you had to choose, who would it be?
Who would it be?
If I had to choose, I'm probably picking the Hell in a Cell, Undertaker and Shawn Michaels.
Really?
Undertaker and Triple H. Totally
disagree. Skills Max is younger than us.
And I know.
Yeah. He's a different generation.
That's what we have to understand. Yeah. I had to learn the hard way. I used to argue with Max till the... I used to get red in the face and get angry. Remember, there used to be a group chat of all of us with these crazy opinions, and I'd be like, "No, you guys are wrong." But it doesn't matter because it's opinions.
Well, it's nice to just learn about a group chat that I wasn't involved in. Cheers for that.
Apologies.
Good to know.
Sorry.
Good to know. Awkward. You have just reminded me of the most awkward moment of my life, where I was having lunch with Ric Flair, and I'm not just dropping that for the sake of it.
I love this story.
It was a media thing. We were in Brooklyn. I was having lunch. I was sat next to Ric Flair. We were having a meal together, and I asked how Bobby Heenan was.
True story, ladies and gentlemen.
I went, he mentioned Bobby Heenan. I went, how is Bobby? And he just looked at me and went, Bobby's dead.
And James was like, oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
I was like, oh, God, sorry about that. Gosh. Yeah, Barbie's dead.
It's classic.
Anyway, classic.
Classic.
And a true fact, he had his trousers open at the lunch table and his belt open.
Oh, right. Because he was eating. Maybe helps the digestion.
Yeah.
Did he do a strut afterwards then?
And what, drop his trousers?
And then his trousers fell down.
elbow dropped the floor.
He slipped on a banana. We all had a massive laugh.
Brilliant.
So let's talk about the Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. I found the way they approached this on Raw really interesting. We've been trying to, I think, on last week's show, I was saying, is it Bron Breakker who's going to end the streak, dethrone Gunther? I can't remember the other guesses.
We talked about Big E possibly returning.
Oh, Big E,
we talked about Sheamus possibly returning as well.
So, okay. Yeah. So, who is going to dethrone Gunther in Philly? This week, WWE has set up Sami Zayn, Chad Gable, Damian Priest, a throwaway mention of R-Truth, and even Dominic Mysterio as potential challenges. Now, there are rumors abound that it could be a multi-man match night one, with the winner facing Gunther night two. And I adore this idea.
I love that.
I think the story is so big and so special as to who dethrones Gunther. Spread it across both nights.
I agree.
That's a great idea, right?
I agree. No, that would be brilliant. And it'll kind of fit the mold of WWE wanting to get everyone on the card and stuff like that. The names are interesting. Dom Mysterio, I could see. Sammy, definitely. Who was the other person? Dom Mysterio, Sami Zayn.
Well, I mean, Damian,
Chad Gable.
Chad Gable, who went into Adam Pearce's office and did that heartfelt. I mean, it was a bit too much. Like, I'm doing it for my daughter.
Have you seen the video he made on social media?
No.
It's like a whole like Christmas kind of. It feels like, you know, one of those Christmas adverts. You're waiting for Santa to come. You put the cookies out and the milk. He's walking his girls like they're animals.
Dogs.
But yeah, he's with his daughters out and he's just walking, hands in the pocket, looking into the distance while they're playing. And, you know, there's like a voiceover in the back talking about how much it means to him and all. It's really well shot. It's really well put together. And you're thinking, man, Chad Gable is so good. Maybe they should have done this. Like, are we still on the Chad Gable train at this point in time? Or has the opportunity passed?
No, it hasn't passed in terms of building more story for Chad to try and get his revenge. And, you know, because obviously he embarrassed Chad in front of his daughters.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's great. And yes, definitely do what they're doing. But nobody should be beating Gunther right now. I'm sorry.
Oh, interesting.
Nobody should
Hot
be.
Take.
This has been the hottest the Intercontinental title has been 100%. Since I've been a child. And I love the IC title. It was one of my favorite. It was probably my favorite title growing up. All my favorite wrestlers had the IC belt. So for it to have some sort of meaning in 2024 when it hasn't had any meaning in the past, I'm going to be honest, in the past 10 years, maybe The Miz was the last time IC had some sort of meaning.
Yeah, he made it feel important.
There's been a couple of talents who tried to make it something. Cody did it back in the day.
Yeah. Cody brought back the old school title.
And Miz and Dolph and people like that.
I'm loving what they're doing with Gunther. And I think Gunther should have another year as IC champ. I'm sorry. I think they should keep pushing this, man. Keep having different challenges, and Gunther keeps winning.
So I think he's had it. I agree with everything you said. It's already been like 600 odd days that he's had the title. Like, all I'm thinking though is we've got this show in Germany, Berlin on the horizon in August. And are they going to look to get him into the title picture before then by dropping this title? And let's be honest, at this point, you're right with everything you said about Gunther. If he's to lose that title, please do it in a multi-man match, because I don't want to see Gunther get pinned.
No, this is where I disagree. And I've even got a note. If they're setting up a 5 or 4-way or a triple threat at WrestleMania, Gunther has to retain. His loss...
Yeah, I agree.
If he's, you know, 650 days, whatever it is, as champion, his loss has to mean something.
Absolutely.
And it's got to be to one performer who can reach the next level.
Big E.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's Big E.
I think Big E won't be in this match because he's probably not ready yet.
Mm-hmm.
But Gunther will beat everybody in this multiple match. If it is a multiple man match, I'm hoping it is. He wins that and then Big E will be the guy.
I mean, to make it mean even more, I love the idea of a multi-man match night one to then face Gunther night two. But I think, Mex, you bring up a great point. He there is so many upsides to Gunther.
Mm.
He's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about GP's future goats.
He's up there.
Bracket.
Did you guys mention him?
No, we didn't, but he's up there.
I know you didn't mention him. I was screaming into the podcast.
Screaming into the podcast.
At least
scream into your phone.
Yeah, that's what I meant. That's what I mean. You know what I meant.
Okay. And then, but there was interesting on Raw. I mean, it's not going to be a faction versus faction thing, is it? Imperium versus Judgment Day? Because they were all facing off. I thought it was a smart piece of TV. It was quite hot. The crowd really liked it.
Yeah.
So there was something in that. But I think they're telling too much of a story with the likes of Sammy and Chad Gable.
Yeah.
One thing about Chad that I will just mention, and it goes back to Brett. I remember Brett in an interview once, many, many years ago, said, as a babyface, you can go back and watch all my promos. If I, in ring, on the mic, stood next to Vince or whoever the interviewer was, said, I promise I'm going to come out of Sunday night and I'm still going to be your world heavyweight champion. He said, I would only promise it if I knew it was going to happen. I would never say that if I wasn't sure if I was going to win or not. There was a backstage interview with Chad Gable after around the time when he lost to Gunther previously, and he said, I promise this isn't the end of the journey. I will win that Intercontinental title. And I just remember thinking back to Brett, thinking to what he said. He said, you never promise unless you know it's on the cards.
Yeah, but you also got to look into how he said it and what he said. He said, I promise I will win the Intercontinental title, not I will be Gunther. So,
good point.
He probably will win it eventually.
And I think Brett making promises is probably quite different to Chad Gable making promises.
I'm just saying.
But it's a good point,
it's
James.
A good point. I like the point. But you're wrong.
And also, this was backstage on a WWE.com exclusive. So.
It doesn't even matter anyway.
Yeah, so no one watched. There was also an interesting point about Gunther mentioning Priest cashing in on him. A little reminder that actually Money in the Bank can be cashed in on a mid-card title.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't want to...
No.
Nope.
No, he should break Seth's heart at Mania.
If Drew's not going to win.
Right.
Because Drew is excellent and Drew deserves to win.
I don't think Drew's going to win.
Jeez.
I think Seth is owed a Mania win. When was the last time Seth won a Mania?
He beat Brock.
That was 2019.
Still happened.
When was the last time he won a Mania?
He beat Brock and Roman in a triple threat.
He lost to Cody. Who did he face last year? Who did Seth face last year?
Logan Paul.
Logan Paul.
He beat Logan Paul.
That's Logan Paul.
Yeah.
The greatest of all time. I
think Seth needs to retain. And then Drew doing dastardly heel things, attacks Seth. I mean, maybe that's too predictable.
Going back to Priest, I think, question to you guys, is he ready for the world title? Because I think, yes, you can argue that the world title compared to the Undisputed Universal title that Roman holds is just not on that same level. It's only been around for a year and change.
Less than.
But the way it's presented, it doesn't feel like the world title back in the day that Jack Swagger would hold.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I worry is currently, and I think there's you know, I think he could be a bona fide main eventer, but I think as it stands right now, I think Priest is more in that Jack Swagger.
Yeah, unfortunately, I was 100% behind it when Damian Priest won the briefcase, but the field has become so stacked since then. Like, yeah. You've got CM Punk on the show, you've got Drew McIntyre doing some great stuff, Seth Rollins, Gunther with this title reign. The field is so stacked now where it's like, and he's been a bit stagnant. I think the tag team stuff has maybe held him down a bit. And yeah, he's not where he was when he won it. So winning it now will be, you know, you're going to have to really work hard to kind of make him feel like a champion, like you're saying. Yeah.
He's got a point. And so what they could do, fantasy booking here.
Go on.
Damien cashes in during the match like Seth did with Lesnar and Reigns.
Yeah.
It comes to triple threat, but Seth still wins or Drew wins and Damien doesn't win. And then that becomes the beginning of the end of Judgment Day going forward. Because maybe Finn didn't help out or Dom wasn't doing enough.
It creates such
it creates some sort.
I really like that. But what I'd insert there is Drew losing because Punk costs him the match.
Yeah, that'd be great.
A returning Punk comes out, costs Drew the match.
Yeah.
And then what you could even have the next night on Raw is Drew demands a rematch. Maybe he beats Seth. Maybe the Damian cash-in happens there and he actually wins. And then all of a sudden you've got Drew, who is the most nasty, vindictive, horrible, screwed over heel.
Yeah.
And he just goes on a reign of terror.
Yeah.
Goes through Punk. I don't know. I mean, so many possibilities.
Three things quickly.
Go.
Drew, number one, still hasn't signed a new contract and there's no talks of it right now. Of like nothing at all.
Now,
and
is this official?
It's official.
Well, how do we know?
As in trusted reporters. And I mean trusted reporters, not your
give
your,
me their names.
Yeah.
I'll tell you if they're trusted.
Meltzer.
No. Yeah, like it's still in the air. So I don't know if they are thinking, do you put the title on someone that, you know, but even though I think it's probably expected he stays. Loved your ideas on Damian cashing in Monday Night Raw after Mania, because I think that's a possibility. The other thing that's they've never done before, let Damian hold the briefcase right till Money in the Bank. Like, at an expiry angle. Like, I can't cash this in sort of thing. I don't have the opportunity. Maybe they let it expire naturally, because if they don't want him to become champion, it's better than him cashing it in and losing. It's like you just ran out of time sort of thing.
And I quite like that idea of his cash-in expires a minute before the men's
Money
match
in the Bank,
begins.
Yeah.
So it's like it has to happen at that point in the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
That would be quite, that could be a big night in Toronto.
That's interesting.
It's a different way of making someone lose without making them look like, you know, daft.
Yeah. Unlike Mr. Kennedy, who said, I'm going to cash this in 1 year's time at WrestleMania. Then he was fired.
Kennedy's Sandow failed as well. He's cashing against Cena.
Cena failed as well.
Cena
he?
Did once.
Corbin failed.
Corbin failed.
Yeah.
There's been some failures.
There has.
Yeah.
There has. Speaking of failures.
Here we go.
The Cody Rhodes segment to end off Raw. So he had a good match with Grayson Waller. Really like the way Cody put over Grayson, by the way. I don't know if you noticed, but in the backstage interview, he really talked up Grayson and about, you know, what a great talent he is. And I just, everything Cody does is brilliant. So there's this idea now that the bloodline is a force that has to be taken down for the good of the business. And it's woven into different stories. So Seth and Drew's promo as well, which I thought was a hell of a promo on Raw. Really, really good. But I'm really liking it. It's story, story, story. And if you think we've gone from this weird pivot just a few weeks ago where everything changed, and now it feels like the most natural story possible, the most logical conclusion to both Cody's story and the conclusion of 3 years of the bloodline. Like from where we were a few weeks ago, all panicked.
Thrown in the air.
And be like, what is going on? To, okay, this feels good. You know, it all makes logical sense. It is impressive. But that said, I didn't love the close to Raw.
Mm.
Before I go into it, what did you guys think?
Yeah, I thought it was a bit kind of clunky with Paul Heyman and these FBI guys or whatever they were.
Suspended NYPD police officers.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was quite funny, but yeah.
Yeah, in another complete different state. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Heyman flew New York officers to San Jose, California.
Yeah.
It just
perfectly logical.
I've got to say I expect more from Paul Heyman.
Yeah.
I thought it was weird.
Yeah.
It was. I just felt like we didn't really get anything apart from the fact that we know Cody's already after The Rock and the Bloodline, and you know, he said it's not a good idea, and Cody said I'm a Bloodline hunter or something to that effect. So yeah, I don't really feel like we moved this story along with that segment.
Skills?
I think there is a plan, but obviously because of certain people's schedules or whatnot, they can't execute. Obviously, this was Raw, so it's not SmackDown. Obviously, they couldn't have Reigns or they couldn't have... I mean, they could have The Rock, but probably couldn't. But I feel, yeah, that wasn't great, but I'm still confident that, you know, in the following weeks, it will make sense. Definitely.
As I said on Monday... Tit. Trust in trips. I have every confidence. I think, you know, and with on Cody's side of things, I loved how aggressive he was, sort of sick to the back teeth of the Bloodline. That side of Cody that we got here was great. I thought the policemen were really random and actually took away from the segment for me. Like a more serious one-on-one promo with Cody and Heyman, instilling some fear into Heyman, saying, I will give you something to call The Rock and Roman about, would have been far more effective. Less is more. Cody threatening Paul with a message to take back to the Bloodline, I think would have been far more effective than beating up local wrestlers.
I agree.
Dressed in fancy dress. Do you know what I mean?
Those two going back and forth about, you know, the origins, the history they have together, you know, how Heyman might have seen Cody potentially once upon a time, saying, I never really believed in you. I still don't really believe in you now.
Well, their history is incredible.
That's what I mean. So like even like a shoot promo.
Yep.
Oh, that would have been amazing. But we got police officers.
Even and that's the thing, like they're of no
suspended
threat.
Suspended police officers.
Sorry. Suspended NXT police officers.
NXT police officers. They're no threat. Like Cody has shown all the time, like, he has tremendous respect for Paul Heyman. He calls him Mr. Heyman, after all. Like,
yeah, I like that.
So it's like, why did you bring out guys to do what exactly? You could have literally had that conversation, like you guys are saying, without these guys that don't look like police officers or suspended police officers. They just look like local talent.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't help.
It wasn't the greatest. I mean, it was all right. Like, you mentioned the line. He said, I'm not being hunted by the Bloodline. I'm hunting the Bloodline. And that, in a, for me, saved the segment a little bit because it gave us a nice, smart, cohesive, kind of aggressive line for Cody to finish up on. Mm. And it made sense. And as I said, I love Cody's attitude, but I just thought it just felt a little bit meh. However, as you say, or as we are now saying on the show, trust in trips.
Yeah.
Like, I remember just a few years ago, certainly back when we were doing GP, you know, kind of pre-pandemic, so many WrestleMania programs felt spent weeks before the event.
Yeah.
You know, and storylines were all over the place. There wasn't even a proper story. Matches were just happening for the sake of it. Like Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar's tug of war with the titles.
Horrible.
I mean,
I remember you guys went on about that for weeks.
That was horrible.
I mean, you know, just so aggressively bad.
Yeah, that was bad.
So, you know, God, WWE is so much better now.
Yeah, 100%. I'll take it.
and the fact is, we still don't know what's going to happen night one of Mania. We're assuming Roman Cody is night two. Quick predictions now. We're a couple more weeks into this. Do you think it's going to be Roman accepting the one-on-one challenge and The Rock accepting the one-on-one challenge and going, you can only have Roman if you go through me. I accept your challenge, but if you lose to me, you ain't getting Roman and I'm on the board of directors, so that's that. Do you think that's the way it goes, or do you think we get this tag team? Because they built the whole commercial around the four talents with Seth being involved, but how does that play into Seth versus Drew? Like, what predictions?
I think one-on-one
or tag team?
I think it's the tag team, maybe because this whole thing of The Rock is not ready just yet. So that kind of protects him as well. And we saw the brilliant promo on Raw between Drew McIntyre and Seth, where Drew is telling him, all right, you know, it's been decided. I am your competitor. Why do you care about the bloodline? Focus on me. Leave that to them, sort of thing. That's their business, which is all very true points. And I think we're going to see something play out where Seth is doing what he believes is for the greater good to kind of take down the bloodline.
Yeah.
And then maybe
on behalf of the industry.
Exactly.
As he's saying.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then it's going to leave, you know, this Drew that we get now, he's like, he doesn't care about interferences and, you know, he'll use backdoor ways to get wins. So if that means that Seth Rollins walks into the title match battered and bruised, Drew's going to be like, all right, cool, I'll pick the bones and become champion. So yeah, I think it's going to be a tag match initially, because they've kind of foreshadowed Seth Rollins still has an involvement over there, even though Drew's now been decided as his challenger.
Okay. Well, we'll find out more this Friday when Rock is live in Glendale, Arizona. I will be there. I'm very excited for that. But you mentioned Drew, and I think we should just finish this episode by just giving him a bit of praise,
yeah,
really.
Definitely.
I just want to read a tweet I put out on the GP feed at WBGP. Don't shoot up my kilt, you perv.
Brilliant.
He said to the cameraman. But he said he got a burst eardrum at the Elimination Chamber PLE. He went to see the doctors backstage. The doctors said, I don't think you're going to make WrestleMania. And he said, who do you think I am? CM Punk? Nothing's going to stand in my way of Mania. And then he sat down cross-legged. And by the way, that says a lot about the brilliance of CM Punk. The fact that somebody sitting on the canvas can get a big pop.
Yeah.
And like oh my God.
A reference to... Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
Even somebody sitting down is a big deal. The crowd really popped for it. But what I wrote here is all the pieces of the Drew McIntyre puzzle are falling into place. This new fire, these CM Punk burns, and his cocky give no F's attitude are taking DM Hunk to a whole new level. Great work. Like, I think he is on the run of his career.
Absolutely.
Right now.
You know how I felt about Drew for years. Yeah. We've had arguments about Drew. I've always...
On the WhatsApp group that I'm not
involved in. Yeah, sorry.
What's this group called?
James is not involved. I can't remember what the group's called, but
Bobby's dead.
Back to Drew. Drew, absolutely phenomenal talent. Always respected him. Always know how good he is in the ring. I just felt there was always something missing. Even when he won the title at WrestleMania
37,
I didn't think he was ready. I felt he did a great performance at Royal Rumble. That was great. But him being the champion, I wasn't behind it like so many people were. I just didn't, at the time, I didn't see what I see now.
Yeah.
And now he's ready.
I think that run was important for him. There were some elements to his title run which I really liked. I really personally connected to him when he was in the program with Randy Orton. I think that went on for 2 months too long, and I thought the Hell in the Cell was unnecessary and things like that. But that got really personal, and he would bring up stories about when he was younger in the WWE locker room, he needed a leader. He went to Randy Orton. Randy Orton wasn't there for him. Mm-hmm. You know, he talked about when his mother was passing away, he needed that support from the people backstage. He didn't get it. And I really felt, I got goosebumps thinking about it, there was some lovely promo stuff between Drew and Randy in particular back then. So I think he needed that run, but you're right. I think it's the puzzle pieces falling into place. Everything just seems to be catching fire.
The character is so well defined now. He's been through all of those experiences of having the big win and no one was there. And almost, you know, this was said at the time, it's almost having some like envy, like, you know, this was meant to be my big moment. The pandemic stole it for me and all of that kind of stuff. Even his backstage interaction with Jey Uso on the show, of him going up to Jey Uso, he was like, oh, you know, I'm in a really good mood. I've won the chamber and stuff like that. So I think I can have this conversation. And as an audience member, you think, oh, they're going to bury the hatchet. You know, he's going to say sorry for everything, or I forgive you for all the bloodline stuff. And he goes, everything you're just getting right now, you deserve it. they went into a brawl and stuff like... He's just hitting the points right now. He's probably one of the most intriguing characters on TV going into Mania.
And his whole approach is different. Mm. It's different from any other talent. Well, what Max has mentioned, how he speaks the truth incorporated into his promos.
But it's
just like he's just let loose. It's amazing how you can bring back a wrestler and you can affect somebody's mood and make them let loose.
And maybe this does play into the contract stuff. I think he doesn't really give a damn.
No, yeah. He doesn't.
And that comes across.
That's what I love it.
Especially on his socials. Like, he's doing some really good work on his Twitter feed.
Yeah.
Really, really
Austin,
good stuff.
Austin worked because he didn't give a damn.
Yep.
So
you got to reach that point where you go, okay, it's make or break.
Keep going, Drew.
And even aesthetically, no more sword, you know, the countdown of the Claymore seems to have gone sort of thing. He's just like more of a human being rather than a product.
But one thing I loved, he now does a 3-2-1 countdown to the ref holding up his hand when he wins a match.
Yeah.
I love that.
That's a lovely little spot. Amazing. Can we have a round of applause for Drew McIntyre?
Yeah, big up Drew McIntyre.
Drew McIntyre, what an absolute ledge. Okay, let's wrap it up there. Boys, where can people find you on the Soch, Max?
WrestleManiac UK and all of your social medias. That's where you can find me.
Skills?
Skillet World, SKILLIT World. And you guys are coming out to my album launch party, right?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a new album coming out on the 21st of March. It's called Love, Time, and Heritage. And I've got a party. If you want to celebrate with me, anybody that's interested, GP fans, at the Indigo at the O2 on March 21st.
And when you say the Indigo at the O2, you mean that's basically the GP universe.
That is.
That venue.
Yeah.
That's where we did GP 100 live.
Absolutely.
And then the Seth and Becky show as well.
Yeah, they love us.
Just before the Panny D.
GP's MSG.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yes, well, I can't wait to come to that event. I'll tell you what, it's going to be good. Put the details on the WhatsApp group.
Will do. That you're not involved in?
Yes, that one. And then I won't be there.
Thanks.
I won't be there. Right, thank you, boys. And thank you guys for listening to this week's GP. Check out our WWE Superstar special this Friday. WWE Hall of Famer Trish Stratus will be joining me. As I said, we'll be in the US conducting some proper exclusive GP specials with some major talents backstage. Cannot wait. California, here we come. Are you excited, Ben? Yeah, boy. As I said earlier, email us hello@wwgp.co.uk. We love receiving emails from listeners, so please keep in touch that way and we'll read out as many as we can. Give us a follow on social at WWGP on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and TikTok. Subscribe to the YouTube channel, youtube.com/@WWGP. And what else can you do? You can sign up to the newsletter as well. That really helps us out. Head to wwgp.co.uk and fill in your name and email address. It takes 5 seconds, and then you'll be the absolute first to know about all our latest news around live events, superstar appearances, and PLE watch parties. Some fun stuff coming up. Right, thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next Wednesday. This has been a Starstruck Media production. We'll see you next week.
Gorilla position. I'm a champion.